Please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Begin reading with the first verse. We will review just a little bit of the 13th chapter, but we're going to read Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. So please follow along with me. And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. We're going to end there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come. Thank you for beautiful hymns and the inspiration that you had given those men when they wrote those hymns. Beautiful hymns. Please thank you that we can have those and sing them and sing the doctrines that they possess that we can know. Please that you just, I just thank you for them, dear Lord, and it should lift our hearts up and excite our hearts and prepare us for your precious word. And so please now as we begin and a little review in the 13th chapter and then on to the 14th chapter, I just ask that you will guide and lead us today. You'll show us your way and will and just strengthen everyone here. Show us what's to come, and it should excite our hearts so much that we want to tell everybody about your saving power. So please guide and lead us now today. Touch every one of our hearts, whatever the need is. If it be for salvation, bring those that are lost today. If it's for to get our hearts right and grow with you, then Father, so be it. Whatever it is today, please speak to our hearts and prepare us today for whatever you have us for. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We looked at this 13th chapter in closing and in looking at the number of 666 with that 18th verse. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We need to know that the Word of God is not a book of confusion. The book of Revelation, the last book that we have in the precious Word, is not a book of contradictions or of confusion anyway. It is a revelation. It is the teaching, the simple principles of God's Word, and it is telling us what is to come. We know many things about the enemy, but I think that we forget sometimes that the enemy, number one, as we're going to look today, is a great liar. But also, he is an imitator. He loves to copy something God's doing. And as we talked last week, you know, he imitates even the Trinity. We have the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. And so we come so far there. He also imitates even the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period being his time of authority, from the time he places himself in the Holy of Holies, the desolation, the abomination of desolation. And then that is halfway through the tribulation period. And then so the last 3.5 years, we see his strength. We really see his truth for what he is. Well, the Lord Jesus, his ministry was 3.5 years. And so you see, he's a copycat. He's an imitator. He does things, and he loves to fool many times even believers. They are told a lie, and they are tricked. And so something else that the devil does, that God does, God seals every believer. Anytime a person is saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Well, call it a seal or our mark, and so will the mark come for the beast, because he too has his mark, 666. The devil marks his children as God marks his. And so we need to understand that. And in this age, the age of numbers, the age of markings is common. It's something that's very, very common. And so we need to understand that this is here. It is what is coming, and that the devil is a liar. And we're going to take a good look at that today as we begin now this 14th chapter. And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him was 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. That first verse. You know, we look at the scripture, and we continue through the study of Revelation, why you see the white horse and Jesus riding on the white horse, and we're coming with him down. But there are many things that we need to see and not miss. And here is an event will be seen by all the world. And that is, these 144,000 will be standing with our Lord on this mount. And we need to understand this 144,000, and we've talked about them, you know, and we'll refer back in a little bit, but they're the 12,000 of every tribe that was set aside, sealed for the purpose of preaching the gospel during this tribulation period. Well, they stand here with the Lord. And so the horrors of what we looked at in the 13th chapter, we finally have a refreshing picture here upon the earth of our Lord and the 144,000 saved standing with him up on this mount. In the 13th chapter, verse 15, we find what is going on here upon this earth during this horrible, horrible time. And the 15th verse, cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so you see, the truth has literally been eliminated upon the streets of this earth. The blood of saints run like rivers. Good is almost completely done away with during this time here upon the earth. All faith seems to be gone. The beast has proclaimed himself as God, and the dictator, we have a dictator now that has taken over not only the political side, but also the religious side. He is here to rule and reign. Terrible persecution comes towards the end, the worst for those that are faithful, that stand for the Lord Jesus. The scripture tells us, except the Lord would shorten these days, there should no flesh be saved. Evil is turned loose. In this 14th chapter, it's been listed seven important things to look at. And we're going to look at a full kind of a survey of the 14th chapter, and then we'll back up and begin with the first verse. The first five verses, we see this 144,000, the sealed ones, up on Mount Sinai. I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the mount, and with him was the 144,000. In verses 6 through 7, if you'll glance with me, we have a term called the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel, God's really closing testimony to the earth. The everlasting gospel, and we'll be covering that today. Then in verse 8, I have to turn my page here. In verse 8, we find the announcement, Babylon has fallen, the scripture says. And that's in verse 8. In verse 9 through 11, we have the doom of those that worship evil. And next, if you'll look to verse 13, you'll find, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. 14 through 16, you find a harvest. And 17 through 20, to the close of this chapter, we'll find God's wrath and his vengeance being poured out in its fullest. And so that's what's to come. And so now that you've kind of had that understanding of what this chapter is about, I hope that it excites you to, after the abomination of desolation and the devil himself sits in the Holy of Holies and proclaims himself God. I mean, that's what amounts to. And I am God. Serve me and worship me. And if you don't, then you'll be certain death for you. And we had that in that 13th chapter. And now, as we get to chapter 14, oh, we see a beautiful picture. And I hope that you can just imagine this as you think about it, that here is this mount and here is this 144,000 and our Lamb, the Savior of the world, standing there with them. And so that's the setting. This 144,000, we know, according to the seventh chapter, that's when they were sealed. They were sealed between the opening of the sixth and seventh seal. They're still alive through the seventh trumpet and the third woe. If you have been with me through all this, that'll make sense to you. And so they've lived through it all. And they've lived, their ministry was set through this last 3.5 years to present the gospel without waver, without moving. They never once moved from the Word of God. And so as we see this 144,000 now, they were well marked. We'll find, as the scripture tells us here, his father's name was written on their forehead, as you look at the end of verse 1. They are a separated group. They are redeemed from men, the scripture tells us. It also tells us that they are pure, they're virgins, and no guile found in them. The time when the 144,000 witnesses testify, they are living during the worst of the times, the worst of the times here on earth. It is the closest time next to the very, very end of the millennial reign when Satan is loosed for a season. This period of time that we're looking at here, this 144,000 is proclaiming the word, is as close to hell as it's going to be here on earth. There's going to be so much evil and so much wickedness here. And I just want to remind you that you don't have to be here. There is no one that is alive today that has to go through that tribulation period. What is it that keeps someone, why would you want to face this awful time? The gift of salvation is free. It is free. We talked about the number 666 last week, and one of our visitors was born in the sixth month on the sixth day in 66. 6 months, 6 days, 66. Now, should that be a worry? No, not at all. We're not in the tribulation period. We're not in the tribulation period. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've got something to worry about. Because everything is in place. Everything is in place. You look at the government today. Look at the churches today. You've never seen such lies. The great liar, the leader of lies, will be in rule during this time. But he is surely preparing people. He has got to come soon. Jesus has got to come soon. And you see, when he comes, and we as believers meet him in the air, if you don't know Jesus, if it would happen right now, and you don't know Jesus, all that know Jesus will be gone. Will be gone. What a glorious day. We're going to receive glorified bodies. Will our clothes just fall off of us and our shoes will be there and we'll be gone. We'll be gone. Instantly, the tribulation period begins. This most horrible time of wickedness upon the earth, and especially the last 3.5 years. During this time, the world will have gone into what we would call complete madness. They believe all the lies of the beast. They believe the miracles to be truths, their lies. They believe everything that they're setting up in the society is truths and their lies. All the religion of that day will be lies. The only truth that will be found will be with these 144,000 as they tell the truth. And few are saved. Again, look at today. The lies that are preached from the pulpits, the social gospel that has evolved through the last many, many years. No one stands upon the Word of God. No one wants to preach the Word of God. They would rather preach lies, partial truths, than preach the Word of God. They would rather stand in the pulpit and watch all the people they're preaching to die one at a time and go to hell than to stand there and preach the truth. They love the social gospel. It's a trick of the devil. Our country is in the same condition. Lies and the leaders of our country, I don't know that they know truths. They speak more lies than they do truth, and I don't know that they know the truth. We can't be far from His return. The God in charge of all the earth's affairs during this time is the God of lies. We talk about the Antichrist. Anti is the opposite. Our God is a God of truth. He is the God of lies. There's no truth found in Him. None. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. John chapter 8, verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what we have. We have the truth. And when we look to the truth, it means freedom. the truth, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You come by faith to him. You trust in him, and he will save you. He will save you. Our God comes to us because we can't go to him. He calls us. Now you have a choice. Are you going to trust in him as your Savior? Or are you going to reject it and listen to the lies of the little g, the God of this world? You going to listen to him? You've got a leader. You say, boy, I don't want to surrender to what the God of the Bible wants me to do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that way. Well, you're following the God of this earth, the God that rules here, the great liar, the one that wants to destroy you, not build you up. You're listening. Led by either the true God, Jehovah, or the God of this world right now. Our God is the God of truth. And if you look to the truth, it will set you free. Wonderful. If you, on the other hand, look to the Antichrist, he is the great liar, the great lie, and all who believe him, instead of being set free, will be bound for hell. Is that clear? It's that simple. Bound. Condemned. Damned to hell. That's what happens when you reject the truth. These 144,000 are the truth in the midst of all untruths. Can you imagine being more wicked than this world is today? And there is no comparison with what it's going to be like at that time. And so, again, I believe that if you hear the gospel today and do not trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you go into the tribulation period, you'll have no opportunity. So you'll have to live through this horrible time. Maybe you'll refuse the mark of the beast. You just as well accept it, because you're doomed and damned to hell anyway. Why would you do that? Why would anyone not trust in Jesus today? There's only one reason, and that is you have believed a lie. You've believed the lies of the God of this world. That's the only reason that anyone would refuse to be saved. The lie that I'm not too bad. The lie that all's going to heaven. Universal salvation. Yes, this man died for you. He died for all. You don't have to do anything. Be baptized. You're saved. Lies. Lie after lie after lie. That's the devil. Our children, our parents, our friends, all of us know somebody that believes those lies. And they will not come by faith to Jesus. Well, we need to pray for them. Because there's not a soul in this world that I know that I want to go to hell. There's not a soul in this world that I want to go even through this tribulation period if they could be saved through there, which they can't if they've heard it. I don't want anyone to go into this time. But many will refuse because they've been lied to. Third verse tells us there's something special about this group. They're going to get a song. They're the only ones that can sing it. They're the only ones that can sing it. And so, you know, we don't know a lot about this 144,000 other than where they came from and their purpose and their endurance, because God had given them all the power that they need to endure through this this most awful time here upon earth, and he gives them a special song. And that song, the third verse tells us, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. The church can't sing it. The church doesn't know it. It's a special song that they're given. We've looked at the 144,000. We have found that there is no guile, no fault before the throne of God. Redeemed from among men, first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. We've got the picture now of our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, standing upon the mount with these 144,000. And now we move on to the sixth verse. And I saw another angel fly into the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred, tongue, and people. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. But it's called the everlasting gospel. An everlasting gospel. With this event in your mind, as we come to the very close of the tribulation period, I want you, if you would, go to Matthew 25 with me. Because we're going to read verses 31 through 46. This is a scripture verse that has confused many, I'm afraid. And it sure doesn't need to, as long as you look to the scripture and confirm scripture with scripture. Matthew 25, we're going to read verse 31 all the way through verse 46. And so please, follow along with me. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There's a time of judgment. And many people confuse this, that the saved's going to be here and the lost is going to be over here. Well, there isn't. There's two judgments. two separate judgments, one for the saved and one for the lost. This here, this division, this judgment here is of those that here on earth at the end of the tribulation. This is the only time that our Lord comes to earth and judges and divides the two. We actually, in this verse, have three groups. We have the brethren, the sheep, and the goats. The brethren be the Jews. The sheep be the friends of the Jews. And the goats be the enemies of the Jews. And so, when they're gathered together to close the tribulation, this gospel that is preached is not a gospel of salvation. It is a gospel of judgment. Those that are saved, the sheep and the brethren, they'll enjoy it. Because finally, the enemy is going to be destroyed. But for the goats, the enemies of those that were saved, the enemies of the Jews, it will not be an opportunity to be saved. That's over. So it's an announcement of judgment, an everlasting gospel, but it's the announcement of judgment. This is not the gospel of the kingdom. This is not the gospel of grace. This is judgment. Judgment. God once again stands with his everlasting grace, but it's no longer for them. It's over. And so at the close of the tribulation period, you have the Jews, you have the goats, and you have the sheep. And the goats, those that are lost, those that are against Israel, those that stood against Israel, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Everlasting fire, as this scripture says. Depart from me, ye cursed. One thing I want to clarify is that this is not teaching that if you live a good life and help your brethren that you're going to get to heaven. What this is telling us that there is not one good work that you can perform unless you are saved. You must be born again. If you're born again, then our work, our service is to his honor and his glory. It's of value. But if we try to do all kinds of good works and give all of our money away to charity and help all the people that we can find. And see, that's what the devil's convinced the churches of, the social gospel. Let's get away from the doctrines. Let's help mankind. And let them go to hell. Because that's what the social gospel's doing. The end of this tribulation, the saved will rejoice. The persecution is over. The enemy is done away with. Good works can be performed. And Jesus looks in this 25th chapter. I saw you. I know you. Those little ones that you helped, it was just like you were helping me. To the lost, we did all these things because they are not children of God. They have ignored the gospel. So you see, what is spoken of in Matthew 25, I believe, is what is about to happen here in the 14th chapter of Revelation. So yes, there is a judgment between the lost and the saved here on earth, but it is only a judgment to close the tribulation period. Those that are saved, the sheep, will be brought to him. We have the 144,000. We have the Jews that were saved. And then we have the goats, the enemy. And so we have that in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Here in Revelation 14, once again, we have the Lamb and we have the 144,000. And judgment goes on. Once again, verse 6, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." Jesus isn't giving them one more chance. It's condemnation. To hear those words and not have a chance, it's over. You know, we don't know when our opportunity of salvation is closed. As I said earlier, God does the calling. It's not just whenever you get into the mood of doing it. Okay, today I feel like it. I'm going to get saved. God calls you. When He calls you, come. He's not going to drag you down this aisle. He's given you a free opportunity, a free chance to come. It's a free gift, no cost. He paid the cost. Tremendous cost was paid. Not to you, not to me. For you and me. But that day of calling will end. It may be when you take your last breath. But it may be much sooner than that. I don't know. But I do know it's God's time and God's calling. And I believe there are many people that are walking around here and they're just skeletons. There's nothing there because they can't be saved. They've crossed that line. They've said no to Jesus too many times. But please today, trust in Jesus as your Savior. I don't want anybody to go through this time. And yes, there is one judgment, I believe, according to the Word of God, that is performed with saved and lost being together and then being separated. One goes to the lake of fire, and the other comes into His presence. And then we're going to be ushered into the tribulation, to the millennial reign of Christ. So if someone asks you that the judgment, the saved and lost are judged at the same time, yes, that's true, but not for me, not for you. But for those during the tribulation period, yes. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know it. Again, the truth. That's what sets us free. Know the truth. Know the truth. You know, just the other day I read that our defense, we have to have great defense. Strong defense, the greatest defense, in order to have peace. Well, you know, in this precious word, we have the greatest defense there ever was. And if you want peace, if you want joy, if you want strength, if you want something that can never be defeated, it's here. This is our defense. Do you know it? Do you enjoy it? Do you love it? Nobody has to go through this time. But there'll be a multitude that will. Multitude. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You. As we find back in Matthew where it speaks of You fed me, You clothed me. And I said, no, we didn't. We never saw You in that condition. And the Lord says, yes, but if you do that to any of these little ones, then it'll be the same. It's the fruit that shows what's in the heart. And Father, please, have us busy serving You, working for You, praising You, honoring You, giving out that precious gospel before it's too late. I ask that none of us know any, that there's nobody that our paths have crossed that would have the chance to stand at this judgment here that we talked about today. We don't want anybody to be there. We don't want anybody to go through that tribulation period. Have us have the strength, have the boldness, have the love. As we've been studying charity, if it not be charity. Father, please just speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.